Amen. Stand with me if you're able today as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. I want to share with you the Lord has placed on my heart today. Amen. If you can struggle through this sinus infection with me, praise God. Amen. But we're going to do the best we can today. How many's enjoyed the presence of the Lord in this place today? How many's enjoyed all of our visitors that are gathered here with us today? Can we give the Lord another hand clap of praise for all of our visitors? We're so thrilled to have you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. We do hope that you'll be able to join us for our Turkey Manhattan dinner immediately following this service. Turn with me today to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. The book of Acts, the 17th chapter, amen, is where I'd like you to meet me today. You know, we as human beings, Brother Chris, sometimes we're guilty of overcomplicating things. We are. We're guilty of overcomplicating things. Amen. And today, I want to preach to you something that the Lord has very simply laid on my heart. It's been so comforting to me since the inception of this church that the Lord has revealed unto me, I don't have to be the greatest because He is. I just got to do what He's called me to do. And I just got to stick to the message that He has given me. The book of Acts, the 17th chapter, the very first verse. You can shout yes when you get there. Acts 17 and 1, the Bible says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. And there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, he went in unto them in the synagogue, and for three days, Paul reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus, Paul said, whom I preach unto you is the Christ. Some of them believed. Some of them believed, and some of them consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few, the Bible says. But the Jews which believed not, the Bible says, they were moved with envy. They took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they gathered a company, and they set all the city on an uproar, and they assaulted the house of Jason. They sought to bring them out unto the people. When they found Paul and Silas not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason have received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, his name is Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And verse 9 says, when they had taken securities of Jason and of the others, they let them go. Because God loves the world, He has given us a message to change the world. He didn't say we would change the world in our flesh, but the message that He has given us. If we just stick to this message, it'll change the world that we live in today. I want to preach to you on this simple topic, the message. before you're seated today, let's take a moment and lift up the name of the Lord together. Can you thank him for his presence? Can you thank him for all of our visitors? Can you thank him for changing your life? Can you thank him for setting you free today? Can you give him praise all over this house? Because he's worthy. Hallelujah. He did it through the message. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. The message. We as people many times overcomplicate things. In our text today, we see that Paul and Silas have relocated from Philippi to Thessalonica. But during this time, they have endured, Brother Bri, many things. They have gone through many things. They have endured many things. In fact, in Philippi, the Bible says that Paul casts some demons out of a young fortune teller. And when he did that, it angered the master of this young fortune teller because the gains of her fortune telling were gone. So when Paul cast out these demons, these devils out of this young fortune teller, amen, it angered him. And they began to seek to destroy the Apostle Paul and Silas. Can I tell you today, the devil will exploit you for his own personal gain. Just like that master who was seeking gain, Brother Joe, from that young fortune teller. He knew she was in a mess. But he was using her mess for his own personal gain. The devil will exploit you for his own personal gain. Then the Bible goes on to say that they were thrown in prison. While they were in prison, God sent an earthquake during a midnight worship session. Amen. And during that earthquake, the Lord opened the doors and he loosed the shackles of Paul and Silas. Amen. Which led to the conversion of the jailer, and not just the conversion of the jailer, but the conversion of all of his family. This message that Paul and Silas was carrying was causing quite the uproar, Brother Timmy. It was causing quite the uproar. So they commanded Paul and Silas to get their things and to just get out of the city. So now they arrive in Thessalonica, and here, as Paul walks into the town, he realizes as soon as he comes into town, there's a synagogue there. And he walks into the synagogue as it was customary for Paul to do. He goes into the synagogue to worship the Lord and to expound and to evangelize the scriptures and to teach the people concerning Christ. You see, Paul was skilled in the law, but now, when Saul was smitten by a bright light on the road to Damascus, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost after God spoke to Ananias and told him to come and lay hands on him, Paul's coming in with a different message this time. It was customary for Paul to walk into the synagogue and to talk about all the scriptures of the law, Brother Bo. Amen. But this time Paul was coming in with a different message. This time Paul was coming in and he was talking about Jesus. This time Paul was coming in and he was talking about New Testament salvation. Amen. It was customary, and he walks into that synagogue that day to worship the Lord and to evangelize and to discuss the scriptures. And Paul's elegant. He's eloquent about teaching that Jesus is the Christ, the mighty God in Christ. Jesus is the Messiah that they had been waiting for. Upon and at the preaching of Paul and the expounding of the scriptures of the Apostle Paul, amen, some of these Gentiles and some of these Jews were converted, amen, and they began to believe about the teaching on Jesus' name. Some of them was converted, and some of them began to meet in the house of a gentleman whose name was Jason. Jason was welcoming these folks like some of you do. Some of the people in this church have a regular Bible study. Some of them teach it here. I teach one here. Some of them teach it in their homes. And we have regular fellowship with the body of Christ where we come together and we spend time together. And this is what Jason was doing, Brother Joe. He was opening his door to the body of Christ. And the new believers would come in. Amen. And Jason begins to work with these new converts. Can I tell you today that this message will cause some people to love you and it'll cause some people to hate you? Yeah, it will. This message will cause some people to love you and lift you up and help you and encourage you, but this message will cause some people to hate you. So some of these people who heard the preaching of the Apostle Paul, they were excited about the things that Paul brought into the synagogue that day. And they began to follow Paul and Silas, and they began to meet in the house of Jason, and they began to learn more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not everybody that was in that synagogue that day was happy about Paul's preaching. No. In fact, there were some people in that room that day that it really angered. And because they were angered because Paul was teaching about New Testament salvation, and he's teaching that Jesus is the Messiah, and he's teaching that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and it angers some people, and they begin to get upset. Paul's teaching and preaching in the synagogue really bothered some folks, and they formed a mob, the Bible says, of lewd fellows, and they come to the house of Jason. And there they were seeking for Paul and Silas, but they couldn't find Paul and Silas there, so they take Jason and they take the new converts in front of the city officials. There they accuse them of supporting people. This is what they said, who do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. I almost called this today contrary to Caesar. Let me tell you something today. If it pleases the world today, it probably don't please God. Because the church is contrary to Caesar. And let me tell you something. While Caesar wants all the glory and all the praise and all of the admonition, we serve a jealous God today. We serve a God who said he will not give his glory to another today. Amen. We serve a God who wants us to give him all the praise and him all the glory and him all of the honor. So some folks really got mad about the teaching of Paul because they were teaching what was contrary to the decrees of Caesar, that Caesar was the only king and he deserved to be worshiped. But these people who were after Jesus' name realized they weren't going to bow to any other king. Amen. And let me tell you something, that message upset some folks. These accusers begin to tell the magistrates that the message that they are teaching is turning the world upside down. How many is glad that we got the message today that turns the world upside down? How many know when you came into this church, your life was in such a mess, you needed your world to be turned upside down? And that's exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ did. It flipped your world upside down. It gave you a new beginning. It gave you a fresh start. They were accused of supporting people that was doing contrary to the decrees of Caesar, and that was turning their world upside down. I'm glad to know we still have that same message today. We still have that same message today. We just complicate this thing and overthink this thing, and we think that we have to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and all we got to do is do what God tells us to do and declare the message and worship him and give him praise and be faithful to his house. But we overcomplicate the message today. Man, this message upset some people. And I'm glad today that we got the message that turns our world upside down. I'm glad today that we got the message that causes shackles to fall off. I'm glad that we got the message today that causes prison doors to fling open. I'm glad that we got the message today that gives us the strength to overcome things that bind us in our life. We can be loose and we can be freed in the name of Jesus Christ today, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Clap your hands and give Him praise today. Hallelujah. This message, amen, can turn our world upside down. Amen. We got the message today that promotes worship, not restricts worship. Huh? We know that our worship catapults us into the presence of the Lord. It is our Jacob's ladder today. It puts us straight in the presence of the Almighty. Amen. And I'm glad that we have the same message today. Amen. It'll cause the lost to be saved. It'll cause the broken to be put back together again. It'll cause the way-weary traveler to realize where they're at again. How many know life can get so confusing? Sometimes you don't know if you're up or if you're down. But let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost can set you on the straight and narrow today. The Holy Ghost can set you on the straight and narrow today. We got the message today that can save the world. Paul was well aware of that this message would anger some people. After all, he used to be one of the persecutors. He, until his little encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, Sister Gail, he was the one doing the persecuting of the church. So Paul was well aware when he converted and he turned around and he gave his life to Christ and he picked up his cross and he followed Him, that he was going to be persecuted himself, because he was a persecutor. Paul was aware of these things, and he knew that the message would anger some folks, and he knew he would face persecution. Let me tell you something today, church. The devil will always find somebody to come against you. And sometimes it'll be people that you don't even think it would ever be. But the devil will always find a vessel. He will always find someone to come against you, falsely accuse you, make up things about you. If you're going to live for God today, all hell is going to assail you. We got hope today. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We got hope today. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. We got hope today. We're built up on a rock today. Hallelujah. We got hope today. No weapons formed against us are going to prosper. Church, we're on the winning side. Turn to your neighbor today and say, neighbor, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side today. And we ain't afraid of persecution, because they hated Him before they hated us. Let me tell you something, this message of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and a baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial sign of speaking in a heavenly language, it's going to fire some people up. They ain't going to like it. They're not going to like when you start preaching Jesus. They're not going to like when you start preaching the mighty God in Christ. Amen. It's going to fire some people up. It's going to turn the world upside down, but it's going to turn some lives around in the process. It's going to put some people on the straight and narrow in the process. It's going to get your mind right in the process. It's going to make you strong again in the process. Amen. Sometimes we just need our worlds turned upside down. We need the Lord to do His work in our life. It's going to pull some people out of the clutches of Satan. You know, Jesus warned His disciples that persecution would come. He warned them in Matthew, the book of Matthew, He warned them that persecution would come. He said, they are going to scourge you in their synagogues. You're going to suffer persecution. They're going to scourge you in their synagogues. And all they can scourge us in their synagogues all they want, as long as we're blessed in the house of our God today. Huh? Come on. What's that old song say? You can talk about me all that you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. Come on, haters are going to hate, but the people of God are going to be blessed, so just let the haters hate. I come to tell you today, keep your eyes up on the Lord. Quit worrying about what the world says. Quit worrying about the world says. Quit worrying about what the devil says. Keep your eyes up on the Lord today. Keep your eyes up on the message today, because it's the message that holds the power. It's the message that holds the power. Amen. This message of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. It'll bring persecution upon the church. But as long as we're highly favored in the presence of our God, we're not afraid of any persecution. Amen. Church, you got to pick your battles wisely. One of the greatest struggles that the people of God have is they don't learn how to pick the battles wisely. We got to learn to pick our battles wisely. We got to learn when to respond and when not to respond. We got to learn when to give it to God. Come on. What did he say? Hold your peace and I'll fight your battles. We got to learn when to take a stand. We got to learn when to just look the other way. Amen. We got to learn when to trust the Lord. We got to pick our battles wisely, because the truth is, you cannot get into a fight with a skunk and not come out stinking. Hear me today. Some of y'all need to hear this. The next time that skunk attacks you, just understand, you can't fight with a skunk and not come out stinking. So just let that skunk go on its way and pick your battles wisely and go on about your Father's business. Because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to go on about our Father's business. I mean, Jesus told us, he said, to be wise as a serpent and be harmless as a dove. You know, knowledge, Sister Gail, is understanding the facts. But wisdom is knowing how to apply the facts and to use the facts. So wisdom is what we need to be seeking today. It's important that we have knowledge, but we need to know how to use that knowledge today. Church, we need the boldness of God in our lives today, and we need the wisdom of God in our lives today. And the truth is, some battles are just simply not worth fighting. So just keep declaring the message. Keep holding fast to the message. Keep on praying people through to the Holy Ghost. Keep on teaching Bible studies. Keep on serving and being faithful to God. Keep on putting your life, your family, your health, your finances in his hands, and just hold fast to the message. Because we get so caught up in skunks. And the truth is, a skunk's always going to make you stink. My mother told me a story. When she was a young child in Tennessee, they got sprayed by a skunk. Thank God I've never been sprayed, Brother Eddie, by a skunk. Man, you got to bury your clothes if you get sprayed by a skunk. I don't want to bury my good clothes, so I just stay away from skunks, sis. Huh? I just stay away from skunks, because you can't fight a skunk and not come out stinking. Amen. The truth is, church, God's going to take care of those who hold fast to his message. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in trying to defend the truth, trying to defend our stance in God. And the truth is, the truth doesn't need us to defend it. The truth is the truth. The truth has always been the truth. The truth will always be the truth. All we got to do is declare the truth. But we get so caught up in thinking we are the defenders of the truth. No, we are those who contend for the faith, not defend the truth. We declare truth. That's what we do today. God is always going to take care of those who just stick to the message. Don't be distracted by irrelevant things. Don't be distracted by things that want to pull you away from the glory and the presence of God. Come into God's house with your heart right. Come into God's house with expectations in your mind and in your heart. Come into your house bringing your best worship and your first fruits unto the Lord. And just stick to the message. And God will always take care of those who just stick to the message. These city officials in Philippi, they had to let go of Paul and Silas. They let them go. They brought them in, commanded them not to be teaching in Jesus' name, threatened them a little bit, but in the end, they had to let them go, Brother Timmy. And then you got these city officials in Thessalonica. They had to let Jason and all these new converts go. They brought them in. They threatened them a little bit. How many know the devil's good at threatening? But how many know the devil's bark is bigger than his bite? How many know we read the end of the book and we know how the story ends today? How many know the church has always been victorious? The church will always be victorious. All we got to do is stick to the message today. Hallelujah. Because those who oppose the truth will not succeed. They will not succeed. Those who are trying to stop the spreading of the gospel will not accomplish it. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We just got to stick to the message today. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. Paul, as he walked into the synagogue that day, and so eloquently declared to them that Jesus is the Christ. He stuck to the message. He knew going in that some people would like the message and some people would despise the message. I think it would be ignorant of the church today to think that we're going to stand for truth and not anger some people. By standing on the truth, you're going to upset hell today. You're going to upset hell today. And Paul upset some people in that synagogue that day as he so eloquently declared Jesus as the Messiah. Church, the world remains a wicked place. It's a wicked, wicked world that we're living in today. You will always have those who are not who they say they are. You will always have those who oppose the church. You will always have those who oppose the truth of God's word. They'll accuse you of not being inclusive. They'll accuse you of taking a stand where others will bend and break. But I come to declare this church today. The power is not in you. The power is in the message. And when you look at it from that standpoint and you understand that you don't have the power, you don't have the ability, it all comes from God. And he gives it so we can declare his message today. We got to stick to the message. We got to stick to the message today. Church, we got to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling, the Bible says. Every individual in this room is on their own journey. They have their own walk with God. And I hope that on a weekly basis you walk through the doors of this church and you feel the presence of the Almighty meet you right where you're at. Some of you may not understand everything that we teach. Some of you may not even agree with everything that we teach, but the Lord knows where each and every one of us are at today. And the Lord will meet you right where you are. You got to work out your own soul salvation with fear and with trembling, but you better be afraid of being wrong. Because Because you can believe a lie, the Bible says, and lose your soul. And the blind will lead the blind, and they're both going to fall in the ditch. I don't want to be led by the blind today. I want somebody who's been filled with the Holy Ghost to teach me how to live righteously before my God today. Hallelujah. And to teach me to walk on a highway of holiness. You got to hold fast to this apostolic message that's turning the world upside down. Paul had lived on both sides of the fence. He was once one who persecuted the church, and now he is the church. He once persecuted the church, and now he's going back and preaching to the very people. You think the Lord don't stand against egos today? You think the Lord don't stand against pride today? He calls Paul to turn around and go back and preach to the very ones that he persecuted. You better work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place today. Paul understood persecution. Jesus understood persecution. He teaches us about persecution. And you know, Paul's past caused the rest of the disciples to be skeptical of him. But once they realized he was born again of the water and of the Spirit, he was filled from the top of his head to the soles of his feet with the Holy Ghost and fire. They realized this man is going to carry this message regardless of the persecution. I come to tell this church today, all hell is going to assail you. The ones you would think at least, they will assault you. Keep your eyes on the Lord today. Trust in God with all your heart today. And stick to the message. Because the power is in the message. The power is not in us. We don't have the power to overcome today except he give it to us. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. It comes from God today. We got to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. Most of all, we got to stick to this message. This message works today. I'm so thankful for this message. I'm so thankful that one day I ran into truth. I'm so thankful that one day I received the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. He revealed to me who he is. And he showed me how to live for him. And I'm thankful today. Would you lift your hands all over this house today? If you're so thankful for this apostolic message, if you're thankful that he pulled you out of a world of sin, if you're thankful that he pulled you out of a world of depression and anxiety and addiction, if you're thankful for where God has brought you from and where God's taken you to, lift your hands towards heaven all over this place today. And let's just love him as we sing this last song and we hold fast to this apostolic message.